We're just so thankful for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for every brother, every sister, every family member who came out tonight, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to study your word, Lord, to study the Bible. You know how much we need it, Lord. I know how much I need it personally, Lord. It's like when we're away from church and when we're away from your word, it's so easy, Lord, to get cold, and it's so easy, Lord, to really get dry in our walk. And what I notice, Lord, is that's kind of when the problems start arising, when, man, we're away from church or we're away from the word. And so we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here tonight. Thank you that you've provided us with this place to kind of keep us on check, Lord. It's like church is a place that helps us, Lord, as we walk this Christian walk, because the tendency, Lord, the temptation is kind of to swerve a little bit and to kind of get distracted. And it's like when we come to your house, Lord, and through the teaching and preaching of your word and through the worship and through the prayer, it's like you get us back focused. You get us back on the path that we need to be walking on. And man, we're thankful, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much, Lord, that you do that, Lord, that you speak and that you minister and that you reveal yourself, and you're doing a work in our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just use tonight, Lord, use tonight to accomplish your will in our lives, Lord. We're not here, Lord, because we're perfect, but Lord, we're here because we're not perfect. We're struggling and we're battling. There's a lot of things going on, Lord. There's a lot of things going on in our hearts, in our lives, and we need you, Lord. That's one thing that we're absolutely sure of, that we need you, Jesus. And so that's why we're here, Lord. We're beggars in need of bread, Lord. We believe you're the true bread of life, Lord. So meet with us, Lord. Touch hearts, touch lives. Use this word that you gave me, Lord, to be a blessing to my fam, that it would be received with open hearts, Lord. That's our prayer, and we pray all of it in your precious name. And all the family says, amen, amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, fam, we're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to take a little break from our study in Exodus, and we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verse 12. We're going to focus our time on one verse, but what a verse it is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. The Lord put it in my heart to share this message with you. This is something I've been really thinking about, and something the Lord really been showing me and reminding me, and I just wanted to bless you guys with it this evening, and I promise you, it is going to be a blessing. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, let's begin in verse 12. This is actually the only verse that we're going to begin with, and this is what Peter tells us. Amen, fam, you guys got it there in your word. This is what Peter says. He says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declares, amen. And by saying amen, you agree with me that what we read indeed is the word of God. This afternoon, this evening, fam, I've titled our study, The True Grace of God. The True Grace of God. Tonight, I want to talk to you about God's grace, about God's sovereign, saving, life-changing, amazing grace. Grace is one of my favorite topics to talk about, to teach, to preach. And the truth is, it's actually one of the favorite topics of the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about the grace of God. In fact, God himself in the Bible is called the God of all grace. If you would take a survey of the New Testament, and if you would look up every time they use the word grace, you would find that the word grace is actually used 155 times in the New Testament. Just in the book of Romans alone, which really speaks about God's grace more than any other book, it's actually used 24 times. The word grace is the Greek word charis. And literally the idea behind the word is gift. It's kind of the idea behind the word. Think of our English words, favor, a gift, blessing, benefit. That's the idea behind the Greek word grace. And so when we talk about God's grace, when we talk about the grace of God, really what we're talking about is God's favor. We're talking about God's gift, God's blessing. We would say that grace is the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. What is grace? Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is God giving sinful men and women like us what we don't deserve. What is grace? Grace is God's riches given to us at Christ's expense. Grace is Jesus paying it all, Jesus doing it all, and God on account of what Jesus has done, pouring out his riches and his blessings and his favor upon our life. What is God's grace? God's grace is God doing the work in your life. God's grace is God doing the work for you, in your life, through your life. God's grace is what God accomplished for us through his Son. God's grace is God doing everything. And we just receive it by faith. That's God's grace. That's the grace of God. Paul would say this, by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but on the contrary, Paul says, I worked harder than any of them, though it wasn't me, but it was God's grace that is with me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's grace. That's the true grace of God. God giving us what we don't deserve. God giving you what you would never earn, what you would never be able to work for, what you would never be able to merit, but God giving you everything just because of what his Son did at the cross. That's grace, the true grace of God. And notice verse 12. Look with me again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. Notice the exhortation. Notice what Peter says. He's telling us, hey, this is the true grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense, the unmerited, unworked for favor of God. And then notice he says, stand firm in it. And really the idea there is continue in the grace of God. As a believer, as a Christian, you've been saved by grace. You are what you are by the grace of God. Everything you have, everything you are, everything that has happened in your life as a believer, it's all because of God's grace. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You're not spiritual. You're not a spiritual person. I'm not a spiritual person. We're not good. It's grace. It's grace. Everything we are, it's grace. Everything I have, it's grace. I'm here tonight by the grace of God. I'm standing before you teaching the Bible by the grace of God. Who am I to teach the Bible? I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's all by grace. And Peter tells us, stand firm in it. And literally the way you can understand that is continue in it. Continue in the grace of God. All that you are is by God's grace. All that you have is by the grace of God. You're saved by grace. You're forgiven by grace. You're going to heaven by grace. You're accepted by God by grace. Right now, God accepts you in Christ by grace. And Peter says, continue in it. Stand firm in it. Now, why would Peter give us that exhortation? Why would Peter tell us, stand firm in God's grace. Continue in the grace of God. Don't leave. Don't get out of the grace of God. Why would he tell us that? Well, you're all going to understand this. As a Christian, there's a real danger. Now I'm not talking about losing your salvation here. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a real danger to put aside the grace of God in your life, in your Christian walk, and return to works. It's a real danger as a Christian to get to a point where you start thinking it's about you. It's a real danger. And so grace says God does it. Grace says God did it. Grace says God does everything. I just receive it. But works say I do it. I do it. Work says it's about me. It's about what I do. It's about how hard I try and how hard I work. Work says I've had a long day. I've neglected prayer. I haven't gone to church for a while. So I must not be right with God this week. And that's what work says. And there's a danger to start walking in grace. You know, when you first give your life to Christ, you're like, man, I just receive it. You understand. There's this understanding, I don't deserve anything. You know, you come out of a life of sin. If you're like me, a life of addictions, and you're just kind of in the gutter. I was just in the gutter. And I realized, man, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, here I am. And I received it, and I received it. I couldn't brag about anything. You know, I was a drug addict. You know, I was lost. But this is what happens. You give your life to Christ. Christ begins to change you, transform you, sanctify you. And then before you know it, you start thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm doing pretty good with this Christian stuff. And I'm reading my Bible, and you know what, people are noticing the changes and going to church, and I'm a pretty good person. The temptation is you kind of put grace to the side, and now you think it's about what you do. Now you think I better do this, and I better do that, or God's going to be mad at me. Or you think, man, if I'm going to make it to heaven, man, I really, really got to do this, and I really got to do that. The temptation is to put grace to the side and begin to think it's about you. The temptation is you enter the party by grace, but once you're in the party, now it's all about works. About me, it's about how hard I try and what I can do and what I can't do. it's really easy to put grace to the side. And so what does Peter tell us? He says, hey, this is God's grace. Stand firm in it. Continue in it. It's as if Peter's saying, hey, don't ever forget, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. Don't ever forget that you're a sinner saved by grace through faith in Christ. Don't go back to works. Don't go back to dead religion. Don't think you can win God's favor. Because if you do, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. If you walk your Christian walk thinking that it's about what you do and not about what Christ has already done for you, you're always going to be miserable. You want to know why? Because you're going to come to an understanding that you'll never be good enough. So you're always going to be miserable. You're never going to have joy in your Christian walk. You're never going to rest in Christ. You're never going to grow. You're never going to be stable because you're always going to think, man, I wasn't good today. Or man, today was a bad day. And you're always going to be back and forth. And that's why Peter says, hey, continue in the grace of God. Continue in God's grace. Don't forget what it's all about. What is it all about? It's all about God's grace. I'm saved by the grace of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. The reason why we're here is by the pure grace of God. The reason why we're going to continue, the reason why one day we're going to enter into God's presence and be received by God, it's because of God's grace. God has given us salvation, and we don't deserve it. You don't deserve salvation. You will never deserve salvation. Never. In fact, we deserve the opposite. I deserve the opposite of salvation. But God, because he's so gracious, because God's grace is so big, he doesn't give me the opposite. He doesn't judge. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't throw me in hell, which I deserve. But God, through Christ, has given me salvation. Do I deserve it? Do I earn it? Do I work for it? Is it something I have to work for? Is there something I have to accomplish first? Do I got to get to a certain level and then I earn it? Absolutely not. But it's all by grace. It's God's gift that we receive. And Peter says, continue. Continue in the grace of God. Continue resting, trusting, walking in the grace of God. And that's what he would tell us tonight. He would tell you, hey, continue in God's grace. Learn to rest in the grace of God. Learn to trust not in who you are, not in how you're doing in your Christian walk. Because if you're anything like me, you're probably not doing that good. You have struggles, you have battles. Don't focus on that. Don't continue focused on that. But Peter says, continue, stand firm in God's grace. Stand firm in God's grace. It's almost as if Peter's saying, hey, whatever you think about yourself, you're a lot worse. It's a lot worse than you could ever imagine. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why Jesus lived the life that you and I would have never been able to live. God has a standard. God expects perfection. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. A perfect life. And then Jesus went to the cross and he died for us. He died for every mistake, for every sin I would commit. No matter how great it is, Jesus paid it all. And this is the idea. Now, because of Jesus, by the grace of God, God offers us first Jesus' perfect life. He offers us the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And second, he offers us forgiveness. And God tells us all you have to do is receive it. That's it. You don't add to it. You don't take anything away. You just receive it. That's God's grace. Now, the temptation sometimes is to think that's incredible. I don't believe it. It can't be like that. I have to do something. I have to do something. And that's our human nature. We always think I have to do something. I have to earn it. I have to work for it. You know, it's like built in us. It's like everybody has this idea that, okay, if you work hard, you get a good grade. If you work hard, you get a good job. If you put in your hours, you get the paycheck. Even when you're young, you know, to get your parents' approval, to get your parents' recognition, it's built into us that I have to earn it. I have to do something. I have to do this, and I have to do that. I have to do the chores, and I got to help my dad. I got to be a good student. And then my parents will approve of me, bless me. And so built in us is this idea of work. Since you were small, it's built into us. Works. You have to work. You have to earn it. And how much more when it comes to things of God? Now, sometimes we grow up in a religious home where it's all about works, or sometimes we grow up just with a whole wrong understanding of the Christian faith, or sometimes some are from a Roman Catholic background where everything is about works. And it's like built in us, works, and I got to work, and I got to earn God's favor. I got to earn God's salvation. I got to earn heaven. And yet God says, no. No, you don't. You'll never be able to earn it. You can work all your life. You can work for all of eternity, and you'll never be good. And that's why God, in the gospel, he says, that's why I sent my son. And I did everything. And all you have to do is receive it. And listen to this. For some, that's the hardest thing to do. It sounds crazy. It sounds so crazy. But for some, the hardest thing to do is to recognize, I don't bring nothing to the table, but I receive it. And that's going to be one of your hardest struggles in your Christian walk. Realizing it's all of grace. It's going to be the hardest temptation you're going to face as a believer. Is the temptation of works. The temptation of thinking, I bring something to the table. That's going to be the biggest thing you battle with. Straying away from God's grace. And going back to that works mentality. But Peter says, no, this is the true grace of God, and it's found in Jesus. And he says, stand firm in it. Never, ever leave walking in God's grace. Now, quickly, I want to talk to you about the grace of God, because as we read the Bible, we get such a profound picture of God's grace. We get such a colorful picture of the grace of God, the depths of God's grace. A lot of times we think God's grace is only for salvation, but the truth is everything is by the grace of God. And what I want to do quickly, I got some time, is I want to give you a survey of the grace of God that we find in the New Testament. And I want to share with you a few things about God's grace. Some things I will just mention briefly. Other things I'll talk a little bit more about. But I want to share with you what God's grace is all about and why God's grace changes everything. And to begin, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of John. We're going to be using our Bibles a lot. I'm just going to be really taking you really through the whole New Testament. I don't want to give you some verses. We're just going to be reading some verses. I want to share with you, what does the Bible teach us about God's grace? The amazing grace of God. And this is the first thing I want you to see here in John 1, verse 17. The first thing I want you to see is that we have access to God's grace through Jesus Christ. We have access to God's grace through the Lord Jesus. And look at verse 17 there in John chapter 1. John says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. How do we receive God's grace? How do we have access to this favor, to this blessing of God? I want God's grace. I want God to smile upon me. That's really the idea behind grace, that God is looking upon you in a favorable way. I want the smile of God upon my life. But how do I receive it? How do I have access to this grace? It's only one way. It's through Jesus. Through faith in Jesus. Jesus removed all the obstacles that was keeping God's grace from our lives. And now through Jesus, we have access to God's grace. Think of it like this, very easy to understand. You are starving, you are dying, in the room next to you, there's a huge buffet. There's a huge buffet. There's a riches of food right in that room. And there's only one way you have access to that room, and it's through a door. And if you walk through that door, you have all the food you'll ever need. A riches of food, a riches of just food. And that's really the idea that we're dying. We need God's grace. We need God to smile upon us. We need to be accepted by God. There's only one way to walk in it and to receive it. It's through Jesus. And it's through Jesus that by faith we have access to this grace. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul tells us the same thing in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Notice what he tells us. He says, through him, and the him is a reference to Jesus. Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It's through Jesus we have access to God's grace. Now, the second thing I want to share with you is this. Not only through Jesus do we have access to God's grace, but second, we're saved by God's grace. We're saved. And quickly, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. You will go to the right a few books, and you will get to Ephesians. right after Galatians and right before Philippians. And this is a classic verse that all of you know, but you should be reminded of it this evening. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Look at what Paul says. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing." And the idea there is this is not because of you. This is not something you did. This is not something you deserve. This is not something you worked for. But it's all by grace. And then really he defines grace. He tells us, what does grace mean? He says, it's the gift of God, not a result of works. And then notice what he says at the end, so that no one may boast. That's one of the hardest things that keeps people from the grace of God. They want to boast. We like to boast. Our hearts are prideful. We want to boast. We want to say that I'm doing a good job. I'm a good Christian. I worked for it. I earned it. I deserve it. I'm going to heaven because I prayed and I read my Bible and I'm going to church. We love to boast. Paul says there's no boasting with grace. Grace is a pride crusher. Grace crushes pride. It crushes boasting. There's no boasting with grace. But it's just a free gift that you receive. In other words, when we get to heaven, nobody is going to be saying, I'm here because I prayed a lot. I'm here because I worked at it. I'm here because I did this and I did that. Nobody's going to be saying that. But in heaven, all we're going to be saying is, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. There's no boasting with grace. And there's no boasting in our salvation because we're saved by grace. Now, a third thing that I want to share with you is not only are we saved by grace, but we're justified by grace. We're justified. And for this reference, go with me to the book of Romans. Romans, like I said, we're going to be turning different places in the Bible. I want to just give you as much references as I can. Romans chapter 3, notice verses 23 through 24. Look at what Paul tells us here about God's grace, how it's through the grace of God that we're justified. Now, before we read this verse, let me just help you to understand, what does it mean to be justified? The Bible has a lot to say about justification, but the question is, what does it mean? Now, this is the easiest way to understand. Justified, justification, it's the opposite of condemnation. And so when you think of condemnation, this is the picture. You're in front of the judge, and the judge says guilty. That's what it means to be condemned. Guilty. But justified, it means not guilty. That's literally what it means. It literally means that you stand before the judge, and the judge looks down upon you, and even though you're guilty, even though all the evidence is there, and you deserve to be put away for all of eternity, that God looks at you, and God says, not guilty. God says, innocent. That's what it means to be justified. That you have your past, you have all your baggage, you have all the evil, dumb, crazy things you did, and there's this load and there's this weight, and you feel guilty, you feel horrible, and God looks upon you and he says, not guilty, justified. That's what we have in Jesus. We are justified. It's a legal term. It's something official. And what that means is it's not something emotional. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're justified. It's legal. It's as if God literally, legally, officially declares you justified. Even though you don't feel like it. Even though maybe at the beginning, not too many things change. It's a process, the sanctification. Even though you wake up, and you still kind of feel like the same person. You're justified. Because it's a legal term. And that's what we have in Christ. We're justified. Now, the question is, or really the response is, but I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a not guilty verdict. And Paul says, exactly. Nobody does. But we're justified by the grace of God. Jesus took our place. He took our punishment. And now God can tell us not guilty. Because on the cross, God told Jesus guilty. He took our place. And so look at Romans 3. Look at this is what he says. Verse 23 and 24. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But notice now verse 24. And are justified. Remember what justified means. It means not guilty. It means God looks upon you and says innocent. Not guilty. Because Paul just said we all have sinned. We all have fallen short. That's our condition. But he says we're justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. Man, that's a good deal, amen. Never find a deal like that. There's not even no lawyer fees, amen. There's no probation. I believe the Roman Catholic Church, there's no probation. There's no purgatory. Justified by his grace. And it's a gift through Jesus. Now, the fourth thing I want to share with you is this. Not only do we have access to God's grace through Jesus, and not only are we saved and justified by God's grace, but the fourth thing, we believe by God's grace. It's amazing. Notice chapter 18 in the book of Acts. Acts 18. Because this is the temptation. This is the struggle. You know, we hear this. God's grace. We're saved. We're justified. And the temptation is like, man, that's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that grace is hard to receive because I want to earn it. I want to deserve it. I'm prideful and I'm arrogant and I like to boast. And it got to be about me. You know, we're so obsessed with me. And God says, yeah, I know. I know you're going to have trouble believing this. I know it's going to be a hard pill to swallow. But I'm going to give you grace to believe it. And it's by grace we even believe. And notice chapter 18 in the book of Acts. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. Amen, fam. This is what he says. This is what Luke says. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him. He's talking about Paul's missionary journey, his third. And the brothers encouraged him and wrote the disciples to welcome him. Oh, forgive me. This is Apollos. This is speaking of Apollos. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. You see that, fam? Through grace. Apollos, the context is he's in Ephesus. He's ministering. He's serving. He's taught more accurately the things of God. And he crosses over to Achaia. He goes to minister somewhere else. And when he arrives, he begins to serve. He begins to help the brethren, the church. And the church is described as those who through grace had believed. It's by grace we believe. It's by the grace of God. God gives us grace to believe. God gives us grace to trust Him. Because it's hard for us to trust Him. It's hard for us to believe. It's impossible on our own. Faith, we struggle with faith. I struggle believing God. You want to know why? Because for me, I got to see it. I have to see it. I have to feel it. I have to touch it. That's me. That's us. And so when we don't see it, when we don't feel it, when we don't touch it, it's hard to believe it. And God knows. And so what does God do? God says, I'm going to give you grace to believe in my grace. You know what that means? God says, I got you covered. I'm going to do everything. God does everything. Everything. The grace of God inside of us helps us to believe. Let me give you another point. Go with me now to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 32. Not only do we believe by God's grace, but notice we're built up by God's grace. We're built up. God's grace builds us up. Acts 20, verse 32. Notice what we read here. And now I commend you to God. Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. This is the last time he's going to see them. This is really a pastor's conference that he has. And I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Look at this. Which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It's the grace of God that builds us up. What does that mean? That simply means this. It's God who builds us up in our Christian walk. It's God who brings growth. It's God who brings maturity. It's God who gets us where we need to be. You know, that verse always blesses me because I don't know if you're like me, but me, I like to take the initiative. I like to make things happen. And the temptation is to think, okay, I'm the one that has to build myself up in the Christian walk. That hey, it's on me, and you know, I'm serving the Lord, and I got to make some moves. I got to make it happen if I want to grow and if I want to be built up. And don't misunderstand me. We do have to put our part into it, but ultimately, it's the grace of God. Ultimately, it's God. Does the work. God gets us where we need to be. It's God. It's the grace of God. Let me give you another one. Go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Another thing I want to share with you about God's grace is that we're able to be obedient by God's grace. Obedient. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to obey the Bible. Is that just me, or is that you also, fam? Well, if you say no, you're disobeying the Bible right there, you know, because you're saying, I got this, I can do this. Obedience is hard. I think a lot of times, you know, as a young person, I'll confess this, all right, I'll confess this. As a young person, you know, one of the things that kept me away from the Christian faith and one of the things that keeps many people away from the Christian faith is there's this sense that the Bible is a book of rules and commands, and there's no way I'll ever be able to keep them. Well, so sometimes the mentality has been, I don't even want to try because I already know me. Can't even keep the speed limit. And I'm going to keep God's law. You know what I mean? Amen, fam. Sometimes we wrestle with that, you know, especially you know, when you're first coming to the faith. But notice Romans 1, verse 5. Notice what Paul says about obedience. He says this, through whom, now that's a reference to Jesus. Remember, we always receive grace through Jesus. Jesus is the door that takes us to God's grace. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship, that is speaking of Paul. Paul received his apostleship, his position in the church and God's plan. Look at this. To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. This is the idea. It's through grace we're able to obey. It's through grace. It's through God's grace we're able to walk in obedience, the obedience of faith. It's through the grace of God. How do we make changes in our life? How do we mature? How do we get better in our Christian walk? How do we grow? How do we make the changes in our life that we need to make, that we know that needs to be made? It's by the grace of God. It's by God's grace. It's by God doing the work. It's by God doing that work through his grace. And we're able to make changes. And we're able to live our lives the way God has instructed us to live. Let me give you another one. Keep going right. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Another thing I want to show you is that we're able to give thanks by God's grace. We're able to give thanks. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Look at what he says. He says, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. It's by God's grace we're able to give thanks. By God's grace, thanksgiving is able to increase in our lives. It's by the grace of God. And this is the idea. It's by God's grace that no matter what situation you might find yourself in, you can be thankful. You can be thankful. In other words, man, you can be having the worst day and you can be going through the longest week and everything might be seem like it's going downhill, but by the grace of God, you can still give thanks. Thanksgiving can increase by the grace of God. In other words, God's grace can keep you from bitterness. It can keep you from complaining, from being ungrateful. It can just fill your heart with thanksgiving. Let me give you another one. Go right to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice verse 1. I love this verse. This always ministers to my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Notice that we are strengthened by God's grace. I always love this verse because I'm always weak. And I confess that. You know, I'll be the first to confess that, man. I'm weak. I'm so weak. Not just in my Christian walk, but in every area of my life. I'm just weak. I have struggles. I have battles. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times they're internal struggles. It's the heart, my heart, it battles, it's weak. So what do I need? I need strength. And listen to this, I need strength every day. Every day. From the moment I wake up till the moment I go to sleep, I need strength. I need strength to get up, to prepare my son for school, to take him to school, to go to work, to fulfill responsibilities, to come to church, to minister, to share, to be loving to my wife, to be compassionate to my children, to be kind to strangers, to guard my eyes, to guard my heart. I need strength. I need strength to resist Satan, to resist temptation. Satan's always attacking, and Satan's always fighting, and Satan's always coming around to rob me from peace. I need strength. I get tired too. I get tired too. I have long weeks too. I'm tempted to stay home on Thursdays too. I am. It's hard for me to get in the Word too. It's hard for me to pray too. It's hard for me to share my faith too. I'm weak too. And I need strength. And so this is the question. How do we get strength? If we need it so badly, if you need strength, if I need strength so badly, how do we get it? Now, some would tell you, and I want to be careful, I always say this because I don't want to say they're wrong, but some would say, first, you got to do this. 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 And you'll get strong. When you hear that, like, bro, I can't do nothing else. I'm already overwhelmed. You're just adding to my load. You just added to my burdens. What do you mean? I got to do a million things. I can't even do these few things. But what does Paul tell us here? How do we get it? 2 Timothy 2:1, look at it. You then, my child, look what he says. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's how you get strength. It's by the grace of God. You know what that means? That means just every morning, look at, just do this with your hands and say, Lord, I receive strength. Just give me strength. Pour it on me, Lord. I just receive it. And I receive it by grace. That's how you get strength, fam. And that's for somebody tonight, because somebody, man, you feel so weak. You feel so tired. You feel like giving up. That's somebody here tonight that you're like at the point of, man, I just want to give up. And it can be anything. You fill in the blank. I want to give up on this. I want to give up on this. Or, man, I'm just at my tipping point. I feel so tired. You need strength. And God just says, receive it. Here's your strength. It's grace. Jesus already paid your bill. Just receive it. The ticket's already paid for. You don't have to give me nothing. All you have to do is receive it. Now let me end with this. I want to end with this. I got a few more points, but I don't have time. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. This is the final thing I want to share with you about God's grace. Doesn't mean this is the final thing we learn about God's grace, but for our study, this is how I want to end. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 16. Notice that God's throne to his people, God's throne to believers, is a throne of grace. God's throne is a throne of grace. And look at what Hebrews 4, verse 16 declares. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. Look what it says, and find grace to help in time of need. Draw near to the throne of grace. God is ready to receive you with grace. His throne is a throne of grace for his people. What does that mean? That means that you can go to God and you will not find anger. You will not find judgment. You will not find a cold shoulder. You will not find someone who is distant. But you can go to God and you will find grace and mercy and help. And that is the true grace of God. And what does Peter say? He says, stand firm in it. Stand firm. Whatever you do, don't leave God's grace. Because God's grace changes everything. God bless you, fam. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, I just want to thank you. We want to thank you for your grace. Truly, Lord, your grace changes everything. Your grace changes everything. And Lord, I want to ask that you would forgive me that we don't preach, we don't teach about grace enough. We do talk about it, Lord, but we don't have messages specifically on God's grace. Because we need to hear it, Lord. We desperately need to be reminded of your grace. Because we're so prone to works. It's like we get on default and it's just works. Everything is works. Gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And it robs us of so much joy, Lord. We want joy. I want joy in my Christian walk, Lord. I want excitement. I want thunder and excitement and joy. But if all I'm thinking about is what I need to do to please God, I'll never have joy. Because that list is an infinite long list that I'll never accomplish. It has to be all of grace. And I just pray, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, Lord, that you would do that work in our lives, that we can be all of grace. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in grace, that we would stand firm in your grace, that we would never leave your grace, that may our Christian walk be built on the grace of God. May your grace change us. May your grace transform us. May your grace build us up. May your grace strengthen us. May your grace motivate us and inspire us and guide us and direct us and protect us. Oh, fill us, Lord. Fill us with your grace, that it would be you, Lord, doing the work, not us. Help us to cease working and to enter into your rest. Help us to understand there's no condemnation, that we've been justified, we've been forgiven, and it's all by grace. It's all by grace. We're saved by grace. And I pray, Lord, that it would be your grace that now sanctifies us and sets us apart, and that we would walk in obedience, not by effort, but by grace, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us strength. That's really the word you put in my heart today, Lord, that we need strength, and it's only by God's grace. I want to pray for someone tonight, Lord, that they need strength. They're the one I'm talking about. They're feeling so tired, so weak. They're on the end of the rope, and nobody knows but them. That's what makes it even so much harder, Lord, is they're the only ones that know. They're dying inside, and nobody else knows, not even their husband, not even their wife. I pray for them, Lord. You know who they are. You know their situation. Give them strength. Fill us with your strength, Lord. Give us strength. Give us grace, Lord, that we can just keep going, Lord. We don't want to give up. We don't want to